today is an exciting day because we get to start a brand new series. Man, we're going to have some fun with this series, and we're calling it Big Steppers. Right? I think we spelled it wrong because that says Big Steppers. It's supposed to say Big Steppers. There's a lot funnier in my head, guys. Let's move on. All right? No, seriously, we're starting a brand new series called Big Steppers, and in this series, what we're going to be exploring is what it means to walk by faith. How do we do that practically? How do we do this on a daily basis? Look, the reality is this, that the scriptures, the Bible is full. It is chock full of wisdom on how we walk by faith. And for many of us, when we think about faith, we think of it like a leap. It's like, I want to walk by faith. I want to trust God. I want to see the promises in the scriptures, but they feel so far. They feel so foreign. They feel so unattainable. And the reality is that what the scriptures unlock for us, it's not anything that any more faith that we have to get. It's actually discovering the power of the faith that we already possess. It's a gift from God. And so what we're doing in this series is we're bringing the leap down to the macro level. And we're going to learn how to do this by small and yet big steps. And so the goal today, friends, is not to leave here with a good message. I'll just be very clear on that. The goal here today is not to leave here going, man, that was a good message. That encouraged me. The goal is to experience God. The goal is to make a personal connection with God through His Word. Amen? Amen. Come on and give God some praise if you're ready for that. For those of you online, go ahead and tag three people and you tell them it's a good one. Tell somebody it's going to be a good one. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Today I want to talk to you from the heart of God on the topic killer shoes. Somebody say killer shoes. Come on, tell somebody you got some killer shoes on. Tell somebody else, I like your killer shoes. You know, shoes hold great significance for us. Let's be honest. For some of us, they are vital. They're a vital component of our style and an expression of our faith. Not our faith, our fashion, should I say. Well, for faith too. For others, they're an extension of our personality, our creativity, right? For others, they represent status. For others, they're primarily functional. They provide protection. They provide support. And then for some of us, they just represent joy, right? They just represent joy. Yes, that is Pastor Annette, and shoes bring her joy. And let me just be, that is not her shoe closet. That is not her shoe closet. We photoshopped that. But she loves shoes. She definitely loves shoes, right? Now, look, shoes hold greater significance in the Bible. See, in the Old Testament, they signify holiness, preparedness, God's care. They signify provision and redemption, victory over our enemies. In the New Testament, they signify other things like humility, acceptance into God's family, trust in Christ, among other things. Now, last week, we asked you all to wear your killer shoes today. Those shoes that you're like, these are it. These are them. These make a statement. These I'm most comfortable in. I saw some of you walking in and you're checking other people's shoes and you go, oh, I like your shoes. But did you notice the killer shoes that everybody has on? We all have them. In Christ, we all have them. Let me introduce you to these shoes. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 12, says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on, go ahead and tell somebody, put on. Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Somebody say, put on. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness for shoes. Come on. Put on. Listen, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. fully prepared. What are we talking about here? What is the scripture showing us here? Let me give you the context here. Paul is under incarceration. He is behind bars. He is under Roman guard. He has a guard that is specifically assigned to him. Scholars say that it was during this time that Paul wrote books like Ephesians and Romans and Colossians and many others and Galatians. And Paul is under duress. Paul is in a state of captivity. And while Paul is in this state of captivity, Paul notices the Roman guard's shoes. And God begins to show him a component of our faith and how in Christ it helps us withstand, it helps us overcome, and it helps us endure in life's daily battles and the attacks that Satan tries to leverage against us. And so, if you had seen these shoes on a Roman soldier, my friend, I can assure you, you would have wanted to make sure that you did not fall in front of him. You would want to make sure that you did not accidentally get in his way and he stepped on you. See, those weren't regular shoes. These shoes were killer shoes. Let me introduce you to these shoes. Let me give you some insight on this. Paul refers to these killer shoes in Ephesians 6:15 as he discusses the spiritual weapons God has given to you, to me, to us. Just as God has given to every believer truth, which functions as a belt that holds everything in place, and just as God has declared you righteous, and because you are righteous, that righteousness is like a breastplate that covers your heart, that protects your heart, the deepest part, the place where you believe and trust in God, in the same way, he has given you shoes. And these shoes are powerful shoes, because these shoes, according to God's word, protect us like peace. I'm not talking about any peace. I'm not talking about yoga peace. Yoga peace is not peace. Let me tell you why. Because yoga peace don't last. Peace on an emotional level is not peace. Because that kind of peace does not last. How many of you know your emotions fluctuate up and down? Somebody say, well, you know what I'm talking about. Absolutely. We're talking about God's kind of peace. And I want us to consider these shoes that Paul was looking at for a second, and we're going to draw some correlations. The shoes. I just went Hispanic on you. The shoes. The shoes of a Roman soldier were vicious weapons. They began at the top of the legs, near the knees, and they extended down to the feet. The portions that covered the knees to the feet were called greaves. And they were made of metal and were specially shaped to wrap around a soldier's calves. The greaves were uncomfortable, but they were essential because they safeguarded a soldier's legs. We're going to talk about that more in a second. The shoe was made up of heavy pieces of leather and metal that were tied together with leather straps that intermingled with bits of metal. The bottoms of these shoes were manufactured of heavy leather, and they had pieces of metal as well. The bottom of these shoes were affixed with sharp, dangerous protruding spikes. And in addition, they had two sharply pointed spikes that typically extended beyond the front of each shoe. So start thinking about this. Start imagining this. Start envisioning this. Experience what Paul is seeing here. The greaves, which protected the shins, protected a soldier from the elements while they were en route, while they were on the journey. Protected them from poisonous vines, from thorns, from rough terrain. They protected them, right? The greaves also were a defense against the blows of enemies to the legs, trying to break their legs, trying to, you know, cut their legs off. The spikes on the bottom kept the soldier securely in place when an enemy tried to knock him down. They also served as lethal weapons against enemies when they kicked them or stomped over them. And then finally, the spikes in the front, they posed a constant threat as soldiers advanced. Here's what they did. They created distance between the soldier and the enemy because you didn't just have to worry about his shield. You didn't just have to worry about his sword. You didn't just have to worry about a spear. You also had to worry about his feet that were coming at you, which would easily protrude you and hurt you. And so these are the shoes that the Holy Spirit wants us to think on, to meditate on as peace. And what I want you to see is the first point is that in Christ, peace is not passive. I'm going to say that again. Peace is not passive. It is not passive. Peace is not just something that you just feel. What we see here is that peace is necessary because faith is a fight. How many of you know that you're walking in faith? Sometimes you're walking uphill. Sometimes you're walking in the dark. Sometimes faith doesn't feel fun. Right? Sometimes faith is hard. Right? It's challenging. And yet, Paul's revelation of God's peace came from his observation of a Roman soldier who wasn't at war. But listen, he was ready for war. There was no fight going on, but he was wearing his killer shoes. And what that tells us is that peace is not passive. Peace is actually active. He was wearing his battle shoes to guard Paul, who posed no threat. In other words, he was always ready. You know what peace is? Peace is readiness. Ask three people, you ready? Ask somebody else, you ready? Type that online, tag somebody, you ready? Are you ready? Are you positioned in peace? Are you operating out of a confidence that is born out of the peace of God? See, the peace of God is not powerless in your life. In fact, friend, it's active. Peace isn't something that you have to conjure up. Peace isn't something that you have to wait to feel. Friend, we're going to talk about that in a second, but I want you to consider that you have all the peace you need right now in this moment. You will never have more peace than you have now. Let me tell you why. Because when the angels showed up and they declared and shone over all the heavens for all these men to hear, they declared this: God has established peace with all men. God has given you his peace. God's peace is protecting you. God's peace is for you. God's peace is not being withheld from you. It's yours. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? There's an example in the scriptures from the life of a guy named Elisha. And Elisha was a man of God, and he heard from God just like you do. He had the same hotline that you do to God, but he was tuned to it. And so there were some enemies that were attempting to come against Israel, massive armies. And God would speak to Elisha because Elisha tuned his ear. Elisha stayed near. He drew close to God, and so God would tell him, Elisha, the Samaritans are coming, and they're going to come this way, and they're going to use these tactics. And Elisha would go to the king of Israel, and he would tell him, hey, this is what's about to happen. And it would spoil the enemy's plans. It got to a point that the enemy king got so frustrated that he said, where is this guy Elisha? He says, let's go take care of the problem. Let's go get rid of this guy. And so this massive army shows up and they surround Elisha's little house. And Elisha's servant, a guy, you know, his right-hand man, a guy named Gehazi, he comes out, and when he comes out, he goes, oh my God, we're about to die. This guy had no praise. He had a squeak. Right? And so he's fretting, and he swears they're going to die. He goes back and he says, Elisha, what are we going to do? Because we're dead, we're done for. And Elisha, the scripture says to him in 2 Kings 6:16, says, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. There are more on our side than are theirs. There are more on our side than are theirs. Now, let me give you a clue about peace. Here's one way that you can begin to tap into peace. Oftentimes, we read the scriptures, and we read it as peace being theirs. We read it as God is on their side. So we got to read this correctly. Read this with me. Elijah told them, for there are more on our side. Let's make that a little bit more personal. There are more on my side than on theirs. Come on and give God some praise if you believe that. And so Elijah prays, oh, Lord, bless his heart. This poor guy, open his eyes, Lord, and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that this hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. My friend, do you realize that when the scripture says, greater is he that is in you, he's not talking about me. He's talking about you. Do you realize that when the scripture says, if God be for you, who can be against you? He's not talking about me. He's talking about you. Here's what it should sound like. If God be for me, who can be against me? Are you getting this? See, we must be attuned to what our salvation is really about. Our salvation is more than just forgiveness of sin. Our salvation is a game changer because our salvation has not only forgiven our sin, our salvation has brought us near to God, and as such, we are safe. And thus, we have peace. Now, I'll tell you why that's important. Out of that peace is born the means by which we win the war. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. A couple of years ago, we were in this building, and there was a meeting taking place in the city council that I was unaware of, and I think God spared me because Jose, the former one, would have come out. I was a little less mature in those days. I had a little bit more fight in me than flight. And so in this meeting, a council person gets up and goes, how dare they turn that club into a church? How dare they pull the stripper poles down? How dare they not serve beer there? How dare they make that a house of praise when we were fine with all the problems it caused? They didn't quite say that, but that's in essence what they were implying. And the mayor, the previous mayor, as I understand it after the fact, gets up and says, wait, let's stop right there. You mean to tell me that you prefer that this place be a place where our police are showing up every single week and there is always a problem? You mean to tell me that you prefer that this place be a haven for problems and for violence and for drama and putting a stain on our city? You mean to tell me that you prefer that this place be that in place of a house where these people serve this community like no other church does? You mean to tell me that you prefer that these people not be there when they add to this city and bring solutions to this city and are helping people in our community? You mean to tell me that? You know what happened in that meeting? This is how I fight my battles. I didn't have to say a word. They came after the fact, and I just said, well, Lord, bless their heart. My point with that is simply this. When you're walking in peace, you don't have to fight a war. You just have to walk in your peace. The second point I want to leave you here with is that peace prepares us. Because we have peace with God, we are prepared for the onslaught of lies that the enemy launches in our direction. We're prepared for life's complexities. However, oftentimes, we wait until difficulties arise to try and then deploy God's peace as a weapon. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Imagine what it must feel like if you walk out, you leave your house daily without shoes. What is it going to be like for you when you put on your shoes after you have blisters? What's it going to feel like for you? What's life going to be like for you after you've cut your feet and then you put on shoes? Let me tell you what will happen. You still have the peace of God, but you'll still experience the pain of your choices. See, peace is something that we are supposed to choose before we ever have a problem. Peace is a weapon. It's a source to be prepared for daily in life. It equips you to stand firm, is what the scripture says. To withstand the onslaughts, the things that the enemy and heavenly hosts and evil tries to bring your way. Peace is a weapon, and it prepares us. A Roman soldier did not wait for a battle to come to put on his war shoes. No, he put them on daily, and he was always prepared to fight. And therefore, he was always able to win. Let me ask you a question. What shoes are you wearing? The only time that you should be looking down in your life is to remind yourself that you have been shod with shoes that say that you have peace with God. Listen, there are no J's, there are no Gucci's, there are no red bottoms, there are no other shoes that can replace the peace of God. You walk with the peace of God. You live with the peace of God. He is for you and not against you. Why don't you stay in that peace and begin to choose it? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, how do we choose that peace? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Lest you think I'm giving you an opinion, look at what Romans 12, verse 18 says. It says, if it is what? Oh, come on now. If it is what? Possible. As far as it depends on who? No, not me. You. Yeah, some of you saying you. No. Me. That's right. As far as it depends on me, live at peace with how many people? Everyone. Do you realize what God is saying? Not what I'm saying. What God is saying. You can be in peace in your workplace. You can have peace in your marriage. You can have peace with your children. You can have peace in your home. You can have peace amongst enemies. You can have peace when people are plotting. Why? Because you have a choice. Because we have a choice. We have a choice. See, you don't have to participate in people's crazy. Ain't got to choose that. Don't have to lower my level to that. You and I have the ability, we have the choice daily to choose peace. And here's what the scripture is saying to us. Here's what God is saying to you and me. Peace depends on you. It depends on you. Depends on you. I know for some of us it's like, but if you hadn't said that, if you hadn't betrayed me, that hadn't happened, if they hadn't taken this opportunity for me, if those things didn't occur, if my past wasn't this way, stop. You are wasting peace by taking on problems. You have to make a choice to walk in peace daily. 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 See, peace does not depend on someone else. It does not depend on an entity. Peace depends on you and I. It is not a feeling that we wait for. It is not something that we conjure up. It is a choice that we must make daily so that we can be at peace with everyone. See, it's hard to operate in peace when you don't choose it. When you wait till something happens to then go, breathe. Yo, whatever it is that you want to do, it doesn't work. It doesn't help. The only way that peace works is you choose it beforehand. Because no matter what comes your way, you'll still feel the blow, but you won't have to live with the hurt any longer. The next point I want to leave you with is that peace propels us forward. Say that peace propels us forward. That's right. Roman soldiers did not wear their shoes to make a fashion statement. They did not wear their shoes to stand in admiration of them. They did not put on these shoes, these killer shoes, to build up their sense of worth based on the reactions of others. No, they wore their shoes because they gave them confidence to advance no matter what was in front of them. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 10:19. He says this, behold, I give you the what? Authority. I give you the authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Leave that scripture up for us for a moment. I want you to consider this, that your peace depends on what you do with it. Notice that Jesus says, I've given you authority. I've authorized you with peace. I've authorized you with strength. I've authorized you with wisdom. I've authorized you with my presence. But now you have to go trample. You got to put these shoes to work. Come on, you can. Don't worry about it. You ain't causing no earthquake. Listen, what would happen if you woke up every morning and you said, these shoes are made for walking, and you start stomping on some things? Remember that peace is like the Roman soldier's shoes, which means that you don't have some flat red bottom shoes that just look cute but you can't overcome with. No, listen, the shoes that God has equipped you with, his peace gives you the ability to trample on serpents, to trample upon the head of the enemy. The only position he holds in your life is under your feet. But if you're not stepping on him, my friend, you got problems. See, just as the spikes held a Roman soldier securely in place when the enemy tried to push him around, the peace of God will keep you in place when the devil tries to push you around. And as the soldier uses those spikes to kick and kill his opponent, there is no need for you to stop moving forward just because the devil tries to block your path. My friend, if he is foolish enough to try and get in your way, to get in front of you, let me just encourage you, keep walking by faith. He can't touch that. He can't touch that. Oh, he'll try. But the only way that he'll try is by trying to deceive you that you don't have what God's word says. God's peace is enough. Let me say this to somebody that needs to hear this. Maybe you're in this house and maybe you're online. God is enough. He's enough. He's enough. The last point I want to leave you with here today is that peace protects us. Peace protects us. Protects us. The scriptures teach us that God's peace is a part of our armor. Like the shoes of a Roman soldier, God's peace protects us and is a weapon against Satan and life's challenges. But friend, peace doesn't happen by osmosis. How do we walk in peace? It takes a conscientious effort to discipline our thought life. Tell somebody, level up. Tell somebody else, level up. Level up. Listen, you got to think higher thoughts. You got to think on a higher plane. You can't continue to operate on your terms based on your experiences, based on people's opinions, based on culture, based on what the news tells you. You can't operate at that level. That's a faith killer. But if you level up, if you step up to God's ways of thinking, if you start grabbing hold of what God declares over you, that you are the head, you're not the tail, you're above only. You're never beneath. You're a leader. You're not a follower. You are blessed. You are chosen of God. You are protected of God. You are empowered by God. You are anointed of God. If you will hold on to those things and you will begin to imagine according to that. My friend, here's what happens. This is the truth. I'm going to cover this next week, but I'm just going to say it. We create life twice. The first time we create it is right here. The second time we create it is right here. And if you want to level up in life, you got to level up in your thinking. You got to level up in your belief. Let me give you a portion of scripture as we close. The scripture says this, Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Listen, that's not talking about perfect pie in the sky. That's talking about complete peace. That's peace in your highs. That's peace in your lows. That's peace in your in-betweens. That's peace when life makes sense. That's peace when life is a mess. That's peace when you're trusting God, and that's peace when you're doubting in some areas. It's peace It's perfect peace, complete peace. But watch how perfect peace operates. Whose mind is stayed on you. You know why some of us don't level up in life? Because we're thinking about people. We're thinking about how we appear in the sight of people. We're still in the same company, doing the same thing, talking the same stuff, waiting on the same God. My friend, if you didn't get a breakthrough where you were before, you don't belong there. You don't belong there. You ain't leveling up. Somebody say, level up. Yeah, you got to level up. Go ahead and type that online. Tag some people. Level up. It's time to level up. Because the scripture says that he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Listen, friend. There is one bird above every bird species that understands peace better than most people. It's the eagle. You know what eagles do? Eagles don't fly in a storm. Eagles are the, and here's what's interesting. When eagles are rising, because they fly above storms, that's what they do. That's how they deal with storms. They don't go curl up in some nest, right? They don't go find a hole. No, eagles go, oh, we got a problem? Oh, we'll just rise above it. But here's what's interesting about eagles when they're doing this. There's always a crow that tries to latch on. You think I'm, you could go Google this for yourself. Go research it yourself. Crows have a tendency to latch onto eagles until they get to the point that I can't rise to the level that you're rising. Some of us need to get rid of some crows. You got to say no to crows, right? And you got to say yes to the promises of God. You got to say yes to the plans of God. You got to say yes to the direction that God is charting for you today. My friend, I know it gets hard. I know faith is difficult at times, but these shoes were made for walking, and your faith gives you the power to overcome. Why not take the peace of God and step, get to doing some big things, taking some big steps, serving a big God so you can see some big results in your life? Come on and give God some praise this day if you believe that. As we stand and we come to a close, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about something. Peace is not passive. Peace prepares us. Peace propels us forward. And peace protects us. But you got to remember something, that peace takes practice. You got to do something with this peace of God. You can't keep going the same way. Can't keep doing the same thing. Can't keep thinking at that lower level. No, friend, you need to surround yourself with some eagles. Say no to crows. We're going to have to make a t-shirt of that, G. No to crows. But listen, listen, friends, listen, family. Today, the goal was not to hear a good message. The goal has always been to experience God. I'm going to leave you with two questions today. What is Jesus saying to you? Right here, right now, in this moment. What is he saying to you? Right now, right here in this moment, what is he telling you to do? What change will you make? What choices will you make at a different level? What crows will you say no to? Because, friend, what hangs in the balance is the peace he's giving you. God created you for peace. God created you to enjoy his peace. God created you to overcome by his peace. Will you choose it today? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, today we come to you in your precious name. Your word says that faith, it comes by hearing. And that our ability to hear, it comes by the word of God. Today we've heard your word, Lord. We've experienced your touch. We hear what you're telling us. And this day, Father, this very day, we choose peace. For some of us, we're saying no to certain people. For some of us, we're taking responsibility for our own peace. For some of us, we're going to just start putting this into practice. For some of us, we're going to continue to walk in peace. And when it gets hard, we're going to double down on our dose of peace every morning. Above all, Lord, peace is for walking with you. It's for experiencing the power of our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. It's very possible there's someone here today. Every eye closed. It's very possible there's someone here today. Maybe you're joining us online. Maybe you're in the house. You walked with Jesus at one point, and then you stopped. You've been hurt, been deceived, been abused, had the truth twisted. For some of us, you've just never walked with God. God's not mad at you. God's not looking down on you. No, in fact, his peace is for you. Wherever you are in life, friend, if you find yourself disjointed, walking in a separate direction, not walking by faith, but walking by fluff, walking by something fake, and today you recognize that God is speaking to you, would you make a choice? Would you make a decision for Christ today? Would you turn back to Jesus? He's still there with open arms. He's still walking with you. He still loves you. If you believe that today, you need to know this, that Jesus died to overcome sin. But sin wasn't the major issue. Sin was a part of the issue. The real issue is that we were separate from God. The issue is that we could not walk in the peace of God. But he removed that hurdle. The path is clear. If you believe that today, would you pray this with us? If you're making a decision for Christ here or online, would you give us an emoji online? If you're in the house, would you raise your hand? God sees you. This isn't about anyone else. This is you and Jesus. And we're going to pray this together as we close. Let's say this together. Jesus, I believe. You love me so much that you died for my sin. You removed the hurdle. You've given me peace. From this day forward, I call you my Lord. I call you my Savior. I trust in you as my God. And I thank you for peace. I thank you for a new life. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here at Church of the Bridge today. I pray that you had a personal encounter with God, that he spoke to you powerfully, and that he met you at your place of need with this message. I also want to encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. By doing so, you'll be able to check out past messages, past events that we've done. You'll also be able to see what's happening now and those things that are to come. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to join with us in all that God is doing with your giving. Feel free to do so on our website. Again, thank you again for joining us, and I can't wait to connect with you next week.